Things you've tried, I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 352, Saverin's Dog Purse. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva, and Fuzz is busy because
Anthrocon
is coming.
Oh man. So yeah, he only has, I think, a week to get any final books in for production for Anthrocon. So he's like, yo, I've got proofs that I got to worry about. One of which we'll talk about briefly here in a little bit. That's pretty exciting. But as some of you might have seen, if you follow my Twitter, I got a dog. His name is Adam, and he is tiny. He is a terrier mix, a whole 12.6 pounds, and we got him from the Plano Animal Shelter. And he came with kennel cough, so I'm having to give him pills in the morning and whatnot. So I have a little dog, and he's been quite interesting. It's adjusting to being a dog parent. But in thanks for helping out some friends by taking care of their fish and axolotl next week, they gave me a dog crate for a much bigger dog, a dog that is more suitable for a dog of perhaps your size, Shiva. But he fits in it nicely, and his big old bed fits in there, and his food and water, and we're going to try doing crate training, so that'll be fun. But also, I got a dog purse that was, like, given to them by a well-meaning friend. So the friends that gave me this, they had, for a little while, a small pit mix who, unfortunately, got a bit too nippy with the kids and had to be rehomed. But it's this $150 over-the-shoulder dog purse for toy breed dogs that I'm pretty sure Adam is too big for. It also would be like a cat purse.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I could give it to you, Shiva?
My cats don't like going places.
Yeah, and if I take Adam anywhere, I'm not gonna travel with him, I don't think. And if I'm gonna go in the car with him, I got one of those car hammocks. But it's just like, okay, well, I mean, I certainly appreciate it. It's a $200 crate they gave me that was given to them when they were given the dog. But it's nice, and now we get to do crate training without me having to spend another $200 into what already has been like $700 of dog cost. Dogs are slightly less expensive than children, after all. Right?
I mean, considering most children come with a hospital fee at the start, that's, you know, a little bit more.
You know, kids are about 12 grand plus on average, and adopting Adam was 80, but then, like, vet fee was another 200, getting him his heartworm meds, and then $300 from the fucking apartment complex, like, 150 pet fee, 150 pet deposit, and then, you know, getting him good food and chew toys and stuff.
Yeah, we just took Bo for his annual shots and all that other happy horse shit. Plus another 6 months of heartworm. Yeah, Trifexis.
Yeah.
Heartworm.
So, pro tip, if you're in Texas, you must have your dog on heartworm or your dog's going to die. Well, it's going to get heartworm. We basically have a 100% heartworm rate here in Texas because heartworm is passed through mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
And if your dog is outdoors at all, it's going to get bit by mosquitoes. Hell, if your dog's indoors, a mosquito's probably going to get in, and it might bite your dog. So, like, Trifexis, it's like 130. I went up to Vet Savers up there off Old Denton and Hebron.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do a free initial checkup, or free initial exam. And, like, 6 months supply is only, like, 140.
That's for little dog. Bigger dogs, more expensive.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, 6 months is
super important. Make sure your dog is on heartworm competitive, kids.
Because heartworm it's really, really damaging, and the treatment is really painful and miserable.
Yeah.
So you do not want to have to deal with, you know.
When Spade got adopted from the animal shelter, she was heartworm positive, and she was iffy for a while, because basically, to do heartworm, you basically have enough arsenic to poison the worms, but not enough to kill the dog.
It's a very fine.
Yeah, it's super hard and with mixed breeds that are slightly different. You know, they have a scale that is like just a hair under LD50, but yeah. So dogs, if you follow my Twitter account, there's lots of pictures of dogs because I am now a dog parent. I am a bad dog dad because he came with kennel cough and cannot meet other dogs as much as he would like to. And as much as friends with other dogs would be like, oh, I want to bring my dog to meet him.
But kennel
cough. Can't right now. Kennel cough.
Yeah, don't want it. That's also highly transmissible, which is one reason why it's so prevalent in, any place you get it ordered.
So
it spreads like wildfire.
Good news is he likes peanut butter. So I just get a glob of peanut butter, put the pills in. I'm like, here you go, boy. Goes to town and doesn't even like spit the pills out. Like, that's, dogs are pretty smart. Like, he figured out the pill pocket treats that I got real quick. He's like, I know what this is. Nuh-uh. But if I hide it in peanut butter, he ain't spitting that shit out, kid.
Oh, God. Bo, trying to get Bo his fucking trifexis. Oh, my God. That, it can occasionally be easy and sometimes, because he's a big dog. I mean, he is 59 pounds. He's a German Shepherd. Has got decently strong jaws. So you're trying not to hurt the dog, but you have to pry the mouth open and pop the pill in far enough that he can't immediately spit it back out. It can be a wrestling match. It doesn't help that trifexis smells like potting soil.
Yeah.
And your dog's breath will smell like potting soil. Your hands will smell like potting soil. It smells like dirt.
Yeah.
Like the dirtiest dirt is, that's, it's awful.
It is nice to have an office buddy, though. He's real cute, and I'm teaching him to sit and all that fun stuff. So expect more dog updates in the future, because I've got a puppy! And adjusting my lifestyle to include also a dog, which is going to be interesting, because I have Akon this weekend. Akon's this weekend in Fort Worth this year. It's going to be real interesting, because it's spread across 3 hotels and the convention center. So we're not sure how that's going to go. They aren't sure how that's going to go. But I have a table. I have a panel on Sunday for our PonyCon. Or Saturday. And then Sunday I'll probably be there for part of it too. Just, doing the promotional stuff. We bought 13,000 flyers and are getting a chunk of them bag stuffed at the con. So that'll probably help things out. And if we're able to eventually make the announcement that we're probably going to maybe get able to admit, to announce, it'll probably push things real crazy. It should be a real big year.
I hope so. I hope you can pull that off. Because it'll be really cool if you can pull that off.
Yep. Because that person hasn't been to a non-West Coast event since 2013, maybe? So, we'll see about that. But Akon, it's going to be interesting because they've shifted out of Dallas. They're in Fort Worth. And, it's going to be real interesting to see how that impacts their attendance. I mean, a lot of cons have shifted, like Otakon shifted from Baltimore to DC. They went from that convention center that BronyCon's at, whatever, in Baltimore on the Bay, to the Gaylord, which is a massive convention center hotel place outside of DC that also another con moved to. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes, because they too shifted about 40 miles, just like Akon has. So, Fiesta
is coming.
Fiesta's coming.
We have yet another meeting to do where everybody gets to see the hotel this weekend.
Yeah, I don't get to be there, but...
Because...
I got my room, it's okay.
It's starting to come together. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
I can't... It's...
One of our big issues that was like, oh no, has seemed to have fallen by the wayside. So yes. That's good.
Room block has opened.
Yeah, room block is open, guys. You need to get your rooms reserved for Furry Fiesta fucking now. This isn't MFF where we're selling out completely instantly, but it's pretty high speed. So you really should act sooner rather than later if you're listening to this. Just saying. But, man, the hotel is going to be cool. I talked to one of my cohorts inside Akon and talking about how they've run events there in the past. I don't think they've run Akon there, but the guy had worked at events that were at the Hyatt?
Mm.
the Hyatt reunion and how everything was weirdly spread out and all the rooms were just either massive or weirdly shaped. And I'm like, yep, that's the case. Like, at least gaming's room is nice and square.
And it is very, very Texan.
Yeah, it's the Cotton Bowl room. It's on the second floor. Well, technically the third, but it's on the second event. Well, actually, fuck. Is it on technically the second floor or the third floor?
Or yours third.
Okay, it's on the third floor, because there's also panels on that floor. But it's really easy to access right out the elevator, so I'm no longer stuck at the back of house like I had been prior at the Intercontinental. So that'll be nice. And it's 650 square feet larger. And I've been talking to a dude within Akon who might be able to help me out, kit out the room with actual new consoles and shit for, like, we rent them or whatever. I gotta talk to the guy at Akon this coming weekend, but, you know, we might be able to really up the game of the game room here this year beyond the old consoles that I have, because you can't really purchase used X-Bones or PS4s inexpensively. They're still pretty expensive because they're current consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And finding Wii U's is a bitch. Like, they're apparently, because they didn't ever make that many, you can't get them that readily, which is unfortunate because I kind of still want one just so I can play like Bayonetta 2 and Mario Maker and whatnot and Zelda. But that's been put on the wayside because dog. Like, all of the money that I would have put forth to purchasing a Switch and video games has been put forth instead to purchasing
a dog.
A dog. And I wanted a dog more than I wanted a Switch. I will put that
priorities,
off.
Pupper.
Yeah, puppers. Like, I've just wanted to have, like, an animal app just because mm-hmm. I work from home and I'm by myself all the time. Like, Panther doesn't get home until, like, 7:30 or so. So I see him on average like 3 hours a day.
So did Panther go along to pick out Adam or?
No, he's kind of like, I'll let you do it.
Oh.
I'd shown him. I can explain off air, but Panther's kind of weird about this situation. But he likes him. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. He's become fond of him because he loves dogs. So he loves animals in general, so I wasn't worried about him, like, rejecting him or anything, but it's like, I kind of didn't want a dog, and because he was kind of like, he know that I've been talking about it for a while, but I hadn't acted on it,
mm-hmm.
so, like, I think he didn't expect me to actually go through with it. I'm like, no, I told you I was wanting to get a dog, and now I have a dog, and we have a dog, and he's like, okay. And he was kind of standoffish a little bit, and then, like, later the same day, he had Adam curled up in his lap while he was playing on his laptop. So, you know, he's super hard-hearted, you know.
Yeah.
Totally. So, another furry con stuff. BLFC, holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
5,100 plus people. 41% growth. That is crazy. Like, I do not know how that con staff didn't just, like, die of fright. Everything I saw about it, even the dumbass Nazi furs getting dunked on, went well. People just flipping them off and giving them shit all weekend. The con seemed to go really well, and all the people had fun. And, like, Fuzz is totally like, yo, we're going next year. We're gonna get a table and we're gonna sell, because all the dudes that I saw on Twitter talking about their sales, they had super, super, super good, with a couple artists that I follow going, yeah, I get to check some empty luggage on the way home. This is great.
That's good.
That's a good problem to have, really. That's like leaving Anthrocon minus a bunch of boxes. You're just like, I don't need them anymore. Now, you don't leave long boxes, but if they're just the standard shipping boxes, like from Amazon, you can drop them behind and makes getting home a little easier, though not ever super much. So, let's see, what else? Riverdale, what about that?
So, Siam had been going on and on about this new Archie, I think it's a Netflix original series where I mean, I've never been super into Archie and all that. I read some of the comics as a kid, but I was by no means a fan. I thought, you know, it's very much bubblegum, you know, doesn't really handle a lot of hard hitting. Everybody knows what Archie is.
I hope. It's like generally they've been regarded as sort of middle of the road, like weird slice of life nostalgia shit from the 50s. But in the last decade, they decided, actually, no, we're going to keep it more topical. And they had
a gay character
and all this and that. And like,
It started getting a lot more dramatic. The show, however, so Cyan was going on and on about how awesome this new Riverdale show is. So, you know, it's my day off. I got done playing WoW, didn't really want to do anything. So I decided to watch something on Netflix. So, well, I'm watching that with Siam, I'm watching that with Sero, and I didn't want to watch any of the other usual bullshit. You know, how like you do. So it's like, well, okay, I'll give this one episode of Riverdale a spin and see if it is all that a bag of chips, like, you know, Siam's been talking. So I started up, and right away there's some seriously kind of dark thread showing up. It's definitely not 50s bubblegum, you know, happy horse shit. There's definitely some darkness showing up. And then within the first, like, 2 minutes after exposition, you get to meet Betty, who's dishing in her bedroom about Archie with this other boy. She's in a bra. It's like, okay. And then, okay, he's gay. And he's not flaming or anything else. He's just a gay guy. Plain old, ordinary, you know, dude.
It's like boobs. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, wow. Right off the bat, they're playing my song. And I watched the entire first episode and it's like, I have to stop here. I need to show this to Cero because I think we found a new binge.
And if it's on Netflix, you can totally do that.
Yeah, so by the end of the first episode, I immediately wanted to put in number two and just start going through the series because it had sunk its hooks within the first couple moments of, oh, something sinister is going on here. Something's not quite right. By the end of the episode, it's like, wow, yeah, this is actually kind of fucking good. Let's keep watching this. When Sero got home a couple minutes ago, it's like, okay, we're going to be recording. You go back, watch the first episode, and tell me if you're going to want to watch this with me, because then we'll just start, you know, doing an episode a night or something. And if not, then I've got my own little solo binge to watch. So, okay. Looks really good.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, so that's cool. It's also on, apparently it's airing on TV, as in like CW, so I didn't know that. But yeah, I haven't watched much in the way of new stuff recently. Like, I've got a couple anime for this season. Like, Recreators is pretty cool, and so too is Grimoire of Zero, and Little Witch Academia is still good. But there's not a lot of stuff that I'm like gotta watch every week, which is kind of unfortunate because there's some good shit, but I'm not like super gotta watch. I'm certainly behind on like Small Horse, so
Small Horse.
Yeah, apparently this most recent episode was controversial because reasons or something. I haven't watched it in at least 2 weeks, so I'm like, I'm behind. I'm going to eject so hard out of that fandom. Just wait. Just you fucking wait. It's been a long fucking crazy ride, and I am so done. Actually, I was going to ask something. So, class mounts in WoW.
Mm-hmm.
How many have you done?
I just finished my third. I've got Druid, I've got Paladin, and I've got Hunter.
Okay, so I have done Shaman, and the only other ones, like, none of my characters are up to date on their bullshit. Like, all of them have to do the chain, which isn't actually that bad, all things considered, because you can do them all more or less, minus the invasion, at will. Right? Because you don't have to do them once a week or anything. It's just plow through it. So, Have you looked into what the Shamans is?
No, but okay. The Pallies is kind of bullshit.
So the Shamans one is stupid easy. Like, I was kind of blown away at just how stupid easy it was. So I'm a Shaman of the Earthen Ring, and I gotta go talk to Thunderan and convince, with quotation marks, these three other wind elemental dudes. They really should reassess their allegiance to Thunderan, as this is a beat them into submission, and that's
because that's it. How you change people's allegiances, clearly.
And WoW, unfortunately, that's kind of the case. So you have three 38 million or so HP elites that hit like wet noodles, and you do it, and you're done. And that's it. Thunderan's like, yo, all right, now that we've kicked your asses, you're going to be my dudes again, right? They're like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to send you back to the heart of Azeroth. Farseer, have fun. Pops me back, talk to Celestos, get this little cutscene of my character riding down from the heavens on a fire elemental. That's cool. That's it. Meanwhile, like, Tesser was telling me today of the Warlock one, and it sounds like a pile of bullshit. Like, it requires, you have to do, like, three things, and you gotta do another thing. It's like five or six steps?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them requires a tank flask, apparently? Potion of Unbending? Which, because of the demand, spiked up, like, from 300 to 3,000 gold immediately. Or more, because these are expensive-ass flasks that require, like, Blood of Sargeras or something, I'm sure. I don't have a high-level alchemist, so it's like, oh, what? You require this? Well, I guess you're gonna pay through the nose.
Well, that's like Paladin. You need to get one of those bardings, the ones that you leather workers make that so you don't get dazed. I'm a tank. I sure as fuck don't need this, because tanks don't get dazed, ever.
Oh,
and so I had to go make one and send it over, and then you needed ore. Then you needed to do the Suramar quest line so that, you know, in order to talk, you have to buy someone from a vendor in Suramar City. So you have to, one, have done the masquerade quest line, and two, have to have your basic mana pool expanded out to be able to turn in 500 at a time. So in order to do the Paladin one,
that's really shitty too, because you have to do the Spellstone of Keldanath, and you have to do where you get what's his name, Oculeth. So that actually is a lot more complicated than certainly a lot more complicated than Shaman. I feel pretty lucky that that was the first one that I've done, and it's just like, yeah, you get a fucking fire elemental thing you can surf around on. That's neat, I guess. Whereas these other ones are just like, you gotta do this, and you gotta go, like, sacrifice a dog to fucking Kael'thas, and, you know, fart in Thunderan's face, and go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, go punch up these three elites that can't hurt you.
Yeah, I've got, so I had pretty much all of my tunes set to go. I mean, at least I had five up at cap, so all but my mage was ready, set, go. So I looked through the other class mounts, which I hadn't yet, and it's like, let's see, now I'm definitely leveling priest, because I love, like, that owl griffin.
Yeah.
The owl griffin one for priest looks really killer. And the one for monk, the flying tiger, that looks really neat, too.
So, of the class mounts that I think are really cool, it's priest, rogue, and panda, and monk.
I'm kind of okay on the rogue one. I mean, it's a
giant raven.
Yeah, I got the one for druid off the back. So you turn into a smaller, or you turn into a giant owl, and it's a two seater.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a two seater instant flight form mount that's an owl. I dig it. I love it. Apparently, there's a lot of salt in the druid community, and a lot of people don't like it. I'm like, it's cool as fuck, and it's an instant flight form two-seater.
Yeah.
What's not to love?
It's instant flight form, which is really good, and like you said, it also is, you can herb from the back of it, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dual boxing or whatever, you're getting double the herbs from every node.
Yep. So, and that's what happened, is me And Sarah, I'll fly around on my tank because I don't get dazed. And Sarah will bring one of his various herbalism people and we'll go pick herbs together.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of our zen things.
And, like, what's great is because there's not glove and chance other than, like, herbalism. Like, there's glove and chance are basically just all gathering this time. So there's surveying and then herbalism, mining, and skinning. So basically, there's no, you're not like nerfing yourself if you have a gathering enchant on your gloves this time, which is a good thing. So it's just like swoop down, pick herbs, fly off, swoop down, pick herbs, fly off. It's nice. Like, I could see people being salty about it, but people are going to be salty about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's weird that they use the phoenix skeleton for the owl.
Yeah.
Like, it looks really gangly. And, like, owls' heads don't work that way, but whatever. It could be remodeled, but I know that they're basically basing it off a existing skeleton. I don't think there's been a new skeleton introduced into WoW since fucking Kata.
I think that, yeah. Well, there's the,
I mean, they still use the fucking Ragnaros.
Well, they have the drunk boat, which is the sky golem. That was kind of new.
Yeah.
And I got the one for Hunter, which is a wolf hawk, which is a reskin Werven.
Yeah.
Still looks really good, though.
Yeah, I want to get my... I want to go through there on my Hunter because I also want to be able to tame griffins.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, there's not a griffin mount that... You can if you can tame the old griffins that have the old hippogriffs, I have an old hippogriff model... So you can have, like, you're riding your attack beast into battle kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's also, there are 3 wolf hawks on the Broken Shore that you can tame.
Oh, did not know that.
Yeah, they're, like, kind of hidden, but there was a Wowhead post on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a hunter with the wolf hawk mount, you can go tame a wolf hawk.
Hmm.
And there's, like, 3 color options you can get.
Neat. I did not know that.
But I think it also requires the same, you have to have, like, the Book of Feathermane taming or whatever. So, double check that. Check out Wowhead, and they'll tell you how to get all the flap horses and whatever. Well, flap bird lion things. So, they're deer birds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, what are they? Let's see. What else? So the thing that I was going to talk about from For Planet, this is something Fuzz posted from the For Planet account a little bit ago. There is a collection of Kadath comics that is coming out, including stuff that's out of print.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hardbound collection of Kadath's stuff, including some unreleased artwork and comics and stuff that's coming out that should be available for Anthrocon. I believe it's up for pre-order now if you go to furplanet.com and check that shit out. Order now! I like Kadath's stuff and his dick giraffes. So, it's good shit. And let's see, E3... That's coming.
I haven't even looked into what's at E3 this year.
I haven't really either. I just know that there will be a complete smorgasbord of content in the next week or so, which I'm looking forward to being like, something to distract me from the horrible shit reality we live in right now. And so far, E3 has given us prizes like Shaq Fu Reloaded and a new Bubsy game.
Which I like Bubsy, but...
The voice acting in the thing is real bad. It looks like your basic-ass 3D platformer, or 2D 3D platformer. So it's a 3D world, but 2D plane of action. And, yeah, it's like, man, I didn't ask for this. And the Shaq Fu thing is like, yo, remember in 1994, Shaq Fu came out. It was bad. So we're making another one that's better than this old one that was bad. So it might be middling. We're not sure. It seems like lull more self-aware. Yeah, it could totally be worse, but it's like, we're being self-aware here. Haha, laugh with us, please.
Please.
Like, the new Xbox is going to be kind of cool. I want to look at that, because there might be a lot of crossover stuff. They're positioning the Scorpio, Xbox Scorpio, as being, it's a replacement for a PC, because it's going to have, like, PC parts in it. Or, what it hopefully means is we're going to be putting a bunch of Xbox games on PC, which would be really neat. Because I've got a really powerful machine. It's got a fucking 1080 in it. And it can play all this shit on Ultra. So if I could get some Xbox games and I have a machine that outspecs it, I would probably have a really good time. Even if I have to play through the fucking god-awful Windows Game Store. Like, I will deal with that shit if I can get good ports of current Xbox stuff and not be an afterthought weird shit like the fucking Windows 10 version of... Well, it was the latest Call of Duty, the Deep Space future one that wasn't very good that people didn't like all that much. They had it so that the multiplayer was sequestered to only other users from game... You couldn't play with people that had purchased it on Origin if you purchased it on Windows 10 Game Store, and you couldn't play with Xbox Live people either. So you had a multiplayer pool of literal dozens. So needless to say, many people demanded refunds, and it didn't go over very well. So we'll see. Like, I'm sure that Nintendo will be like, we've got five games, and... we're going to try to produce more Switches because, holy shit, turns out that the Switches are made with the same parts that are in demand with other phones, with phones and shit. So we are having really hard, really bad supply line issues.
It's not good to compete with phones.
Yeah, because, you know, people will buy your little shit tier Android phones that use the same general part schema and they can sell them a lot. In a lot more markets than a specialized handheld gaming system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's been one of the problems. But again, I've put off my search for a Switch entirely because
of Doggo.
Holy shit, it's been an expensive ass month. Speaking of expensive ass month, my car's finally in the fucking shop.
It's only taken how many months? It has taken
4 months to get my car in the shop. And in that interim, we've had a very wet spring. We've had to go back and forth with the insurance company a lot. And finally, we get to take my car to the shop. And I get my car to the shop. And they're like, I don't know why they didn't total this. And I'm like, dude, I fucking know. Because like 2 months ago, probably, I emailed my agent. Was like, look, this is taking way too fucking long. Can you just total my car, give me a check, and I'd be done with this? I'm like, we can't do that. You have to take it to the repair shop. Fuck. Mm-hmm. And because of the delay between the insurance companies bickering, we had a big hailstorm event that had delayed it until the 6th, getting my car in front. Like, the event happened on February 15th, and it took until June 6th to get my car in the shop. Only for the guy at the shop to be like, dude, why didn't they just total this? And I'm like, I fucking know! So, basically, he says that they're basically at the line anyway, so if they open it up and find additional damage, he's just going to have them total. I'm like, look, if you can do that, do it, please. This is taking way too long, and I will just drop the cash on something else. So, my car saga is ongoing, and I have a little rental right now, a little Nissan Versa. It feels like it's made of plastic. And it has some nice features. It has a backup camera. It's got iPod Connect, which is nice. Doesn't have iPlay or whatever it is. AirPlay. It's basically some fancy receivers that let you access apps and shit. Like, it'll display messages and whatnot. It's really not good to use while driving. But anyways, it's this little car. It gets decent gas mileage. I'm going to and from places in it. And it has working air conditioning.
Yeah.
Like,
yours has been on the rock for even before you got in the accident.
Yeah, so needless to say, it's nice to have a functioning car, even if I'm paying for it on the daily. Like, I have to talk to them and be like, yo, can I get the $10 a day extra coverage, but it turns out I have good coverage through both my credit card and my insurance, so I don't need to pay that,
mm-hmm.
which makes my rental $5 a day versus $15. So that's going to add up if this is going to take a month. For the max. So, needless to say, I know this is something you can totally avoid. Just don't get hit by ladies looking at their phone and merging into you at like 30 miles an hour.
Jesus.
I think I told the anecdote last week where I talked to the insurance company and they were like, we had initially disclaimed responsibility, but we'd like a statement from you. And I sent them all the photos that I took and they're like, yeah, we're accepting responsibility now because I took a bunch of photos of all the vehicles involved, including her car, which she had claimed she'd been hit from behind, which translated into her hitting the mini and me. And basically, once people got a bunch of photos and realized, no, her car's butt end was pristine. Also, anybody with an idea of physics realizes that for the force that would have imparted the level of force into my vehicle and the car that she really destroyed the back axle on, she would have been obliterated. Like, she would have been had to hit by an 18-wheeler going 70 just to hit our vehicles that much to do the damage, and her car would not have been in one piece. So, don't get hit by people being distracted on their phone. And if you do, make sure you take a shitload of photos, because that's probably what saved my ass on this. Because, also, don't deal with Safe Auto. They're not very good.
Oh?
Yeah. Apparently they're a nightmare to deal with, per the insurance, or the shop dude that I talked to yesterday.
Is that her insurance?
Yeah, it's hers. Ours is Liberty Mutual, and they're apparently pretty easy to deal with. Because, I mean, they, like, admittedly, once they'd kind of nailed it down, they cut me a check. They cut me a cash check put out to me for $3,200. It was like, this will get your car repair started. We're still going to be going back and forth with the other insurance company, but this will get you going. So, that was nice.
And I haven't had to make a claim with State Farm, knock on wood, so I don't know. I don't know how they are. Knock on wood. Let's not try to test that. My parents
have had them for a long time, and it's been fine. They've never had a problem. They've had to make a couple claims because people hitting them and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you get what you pay for, and if you get a discount auto insurer, you're not going to have a good time in any result.
Yeah.
So,
they don't like to pay out money if they're cheap.
No, they don't, which is why apparently Safe Auto was a nightmare to deal with on the back end. So, the more you know, kids. Also, in the more you know, mm-hmm. don't be a racist meme-spewing shitbag and expect to go to Harvard. So, this was a story that came up here a couple days. I'm going to pull up on Twitter. Where basically a bunch of kids, 10 of them specifically, had gotten involved in a Facebook group that was like for upcoming students of Harvard. And they had made a subgroup, which is all about the racist memes. And people caught wind of this. This isn't just some like, lol. This was full-on racism and, like, referring to lynching a Mexican as a piñata party.
Which is fucking awful.
Yeah, it's some real bad shit. And, like, people are like, oh, I'm a free speech! And Harvard's like, no. No, 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 no. This is you... Basically, your conduct here does not reflect the type of students we want to have at Harvard. Consider your acceptance rescinded. And basically, these kids don't get to go to Harvard because they couldn't keep their 4chan bullshit in their skulls.
At least in where they can be more anonymously, you know.
Yeah. Fucking Facebook. What a dumbass. Yeah. the Boston Globe article titles like, a free speech debate has erupted over Harvard's decision to rescind admission offers to at least 10 students. And people are replying, it's not free speech, they're a private institution, and if you're a dumbass racist shitbag, you don't get to go.
I started banging the but my free speech drum a couple years ago, and people are getting educated that...
No, actually...
It just means that you can't get fucking arrested for it. It doesn't mean that society as a whole can't, you know...
Yeah. Take people are like... Yeah, I don't know what these lessons these students have learned other than to keep their mouths shut, said Will Creeley, a senior vice president at the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, which is a right-wing group that's all about the quote-unquote my free speech, which is generally translates to why can't these racists come and be racist on colleges. Yeah, maybe they should have learned to keep their fucking mouth shut. You lost your opportunity to go to fucking Harvard. Huh. You know,
maybe they might learn that society as a whole thinks that they're pretty fucking awful people.
Yeah.
And that this is not an acceptable thought process.
So,
you know.
The messages made sexual jokes about the Holocaust, implied that child abuse was sexually arousing, and poked fun at suicide in Mexicans. Harvard has declined to comment directly on the situation, but did say the school reserves the right to withdraw admission for a variety of reasons, including if the student engages in behavior that brings into question their honesty, maturity, or moral character. That's kind of funny. Don't, if you have the opportunity to go to Harvard, don't fuck it up by being a shitbag. But I mean, you've done all the other students of the school a favor by putting it out there in the open that you're a piece of shit and don't deserve to be around a school like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever, kid. Now you fucked up. Let's see. They're like, you have one free article now left. Subscribe now. No, Boston Globe, I will not. That's about it, I think. Do you have any topics you want to hit?
No, I'm still heading for a new job. Still slightly terrified.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, you got a new job, so that's cool. You got the offer.
I got the offer. I've gone through all the background checks, and I haven't heard anything, so I'm going to assume that it's all golden.
They're like,
oh, haven't heard what time I should be there, or, you know, what schedule's going to be like for training or anything, but that I figure will come next week, I guess. I mean, the recruiter's been really fucking quiet.
Yeah.
And
you assume, I mean, they have your information, they've extended you the job offer, so there's like, they'll get you the info when they get you the info, I guess.
Yeah, and next week, so my work schedule right now for the big tech company is I work Sunday through Wednesday, and I'm 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., so I work 4x10s. Next weekend, with stopping work at old tech company, and I don't start till Monday, I actually get a 4-day weekend, which, you know, I'm kind of okay with. Just saying. Just saying. 4 days off will be a mini vacation, and then, oh god, don't let me fuck this up.
It's like, oh god, new place.
Please don't let me fuck it up.
Well, that's like, Panther got approached by somebody from a car company. I was like, you should totally go work in this department. I think you'd be a great fit. You're really good at what you do, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I bet you don't pay half of what I make. It's always funny, I mean, like, in your case, you're getting a big step up, but for him, it'd be like, they can't afford me.
Yeah.
Because Panther is extremely smart and very good at what he does, so he's paid very well. Oh, goodness. Oh, double XP weekend for Overwatch. That's cool.
I guess.
If you're still playing Overwatch, it's a good thing to do. Oh, did you see Wonder Woman yet?
Yes, I saw it last night.
What'd you think?
Biggest impression, I liked it. I thought I would like it more. Like, it is did not instill, like, the childlike wonder like Guardians did or some of the other superhero movies. But I liked it. It was a good, solid film. Did you see it?
Uh-huh. Okay. I went and saw it. I said last week I was going to go see it on Friday morning at, like, an 11:30 showing, and I went at the 11:30 showing.
It was good. My biggest letdown was a fucking bad guy at the end.
Yeah. I could see that.
He was just not a very impressive villain for me.
Yeah.
He had, like, morphed into, like, a different actor or something.
Yeah, so...
If he had cast off his disguise
then and... been this impressive Greek god.
Yeah, but no. And I don't want to spoiler it for anybody because it's still new out there.
I will admit that little bit was goofy.
It's like, yeah, this guy does not look like he's from Greece.
No, he does not.
At all. And he's not a very impressive, you know, supervillain. Even in, you know, once they took the helmet off, I'm just... He's not fucking Greek!
Yeah, he doesn't look like a Greek god.
At all!
I mean, it's put forth very early that... Like, it's one of those things where you have to know a little bit about the character to have an idea of who the villain is and why it's such a big deal. For that, like, for why he's the big villain. But...
He needed to, like, shed that unimpressive...
build.
Mortal... And become something much more, I don't know, ripped.
Yeah, like...
Or...
He looks dead onto the comics. And his abilities are dead onto the comics. Like, he's like, I make swords and fling them at her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. That's, like, what he does 90% of the time when he's not inciting wars. Because, I mean, it's not a big secret that Ares is the primary villain. Because it's in the fucking preamble of the movie, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Ares is the cause of all war in mankind. And then the movie gets going. I really thought it was cool. I liked it a lot. Like, I came in with no expectations because...
Yeah, I love the fact that the Amazons were... They looked like older ladies who had spent a lot of time in the sun. They had sun wrinkles. you know, they didn't look like, I mean, they were impressive specimens, but they did not look like...
They weren't supermodels.
They were very handsome, very good-looking women, but they weren't supermodels.
Yeah.
They had tans. They had, you know, if you've ever seen like an older lady that spends time in the sun and they've got the crow's feet and, you know, their skin doesn't look polished. And like her hands, when you saw like Diana's hands, they just, they weren't manicured and pretty. They looked very, they look like they would swing a sword. They don't look all like delicate flower. You know, they, she doesn't look like she just stepped out of a nail salon.
Yeah.
The nails are blunt. The finger, it didn't look like...
She'd used them.
Yeah. They look like real people hands.
Yeah. And one of the cool things is they, for a lot of the Amazons, they were apparently recruited a bunch of like just random female athletes mm-hmm. who would have this shootable body build. Like, of all the characters... there, Diana is, like, the least visibly muscular.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, in the comics, Diana is ripped. She is thick. She is, like, an Amazon. As mm-hmm. And, like, the literal definition of, like, an Amazonian woman. She is huge and broad-shouldered and muscled and stuff. Not to say that Gal Gadot is not a great Wonder Woman. I liked it a lot.
I got more of the impression that she was just younger.
Yeah.
Like,
this was her first foray into the world.
Yeah, like, all the other Amazons were like, they've been around the block. They've been around a while. They are, like, seasoned, lifetime warriors. And Diana was still very young, as things go.
Yeah.
And so I think kind of her being smaller just kind of lent that impression of youth to me.
Yeah.
Did you see the lead-in for Justice League premiere for a trailer as part of yours?
No.
Oh, they had the Justice League trailer in front of ours, and oh my god, it does look good.
Yeah.
It does look really good. No Superman that I saw, but that might be holding up for a later trailer.
He might show up later. Well, because didn't like the end of the most recent Superman movie in Batman v Superman end with him dead?
I don't know. I couldn't sit.
I didn't see it.
I couldn't laugh. I tried watching it. I got bored. But they had Aquaman. They had Cyborg, Batman, Wonder Woman. I like the way that they're doing the Flashes, how they're illustrating the Flash's power in it. It looks really like it's got some potential.
I like the Flash TV show.
I do too. I fucking love the Flash TV show. It's so goofy. And I have to say, what... Cisco in the TV show is one of the things that I love. Cisco, he's one of my favorites. Yeah, Cisco, and I watch Arrow, and again, it's the side characters that usually like Felicity.
Yeah,
I fucking love Felicity.
So, fun fact: in Injustice 2, they make references to like the Arrow show.
Mm-hmm.
So, because like two of the characters from Arrow are like Green Arrow and Black Canary are two characters from Injustice 2, and they'll make like show references, kind mm-hmm. of. And like there's an intro where it's like Ollie versus Wally, so you have Flash versus Thing, and like the loser has to buy the next round at Jitters, which is which is like the show, which is where the coffee shop is,
which is a great name for a coffee shop.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, I get that reference. How cool. I really, if I had a PS4, I'd pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to buy it on PC because NetherRealm's PC ports are generally kind of bad and there's not a good player base for it.
I haven't tried it yet. I mean, I've seen some gameplay from it, but I haven't played it yet.
It's basically Mortal Kombat with a
super, yeah.
But it's DC superheroes,
mm-hmm.
but also good. So, I mean, that's a fairly resounding, like, yo, you should check this out kind of thing for me. But yeah, I didn't see, like, I didn't have a lot of trailers in front of mine that were super memorable. I can't really think of any the top of my head because it's been a week.
We had Dunkirk, which for some reason confuses the fuck out of Sarah. It's like, if you don't understand what's going on, just do a brief Google.
Isn't it a World War I film or is it World War II?
I don't remember.
Like, it's a war film.
Yeah. But it's about the Battle of Dunkirk, kind of famous battle, and I know a little bit about it. But every time the trailer comes out, Sarah's like, I don't understand. Why are they fighting each other? They're not. They're fighting the enemy. But I don't see Nazis. It might be World War One at that point.
Then. It was Second World War in France between Allies and Nazi Germany.
Yeah. So I thought it was World War II, but I wasn't sure. And I don't remember seeing any German crosses on the planes. And I think that might be what's throwing him on the loop. But
they're not like, yo, we're going to put Iron Crosses on this shit.
So it might be good. It might not be. So, yeah, I'm kind of on the fence about that one. But I'm not a huge war movie buff. Though I will watch them if they get a lot of good press.
Yeah. I thought that the Marvel-esque, the intro, the DC Comics intro was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have any, other films. There certainly wasn't a Justice League trailer.
They had a Spider-Man trailer.
Yeah, there was a Spider-Man trailer.
I will go watch
Spider-Man. Homecoming looks good. I remember that one.
But again, that's Marvel Universe, and Marvel's been doing a really good job on their movies.
And I do think it's really cool that they're doing Teen Peter Parker, but also with Iron Spider.
Mm-hmm.
So, the suit that he has is a Stark Industries suit.
Mm-hmm.
With literally, one of the things that they discuss in the trailer, there's, training wheels mode that he's been stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
My suit has more abilities. So, it's going to be interesting to see that happen because, if it's set before Civil War, I don't know when it's set timeline-wise, but still, I'm going to go see it because it's cool to see it's got Tony Stark and Iron Man in there with Spider-Man. Even if it's a cameo, it's oh, look, the worlds are touching.
I like the fact that it doesn't appear to be yet another, this is how Spider-Man came to be. They fucking assume that you've seen one of the other films or you know how Spider-Man got his fucking powers.
Yo, Uncle Ben, he's dead again.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been dead. He's never not dead.
Yeah, if you want to know how Spider-Man got his powers, you can get the gist, watch one of the
other...
Watch
the early 2000 Raimi's trilogy, but watch the first two and not the third.
Yeah, oh god, emo Spider-Man. Fuck that noise.
That was so dumb.
That ruined the series for me. Fucking emo goddamn Peter Parker.
His little dance.
Yeah. guys, this sucked. Stop.
Yep. Fez asked if we're done recording yet. I'm like, not quite.
Soon,
though. Let's see. So at this point, we're just going to stop and save, go into our email segment, which I think consists of one email this week because... Oh, wait, there's two? Yes, there's two. Awesome. Well, so
a lot.
Yep. We're going to stop, save real quick and be right back. After a short break, we resume. Fuzz is slacking. So, you can always email us at notcast@foxsuffers.com. You can send us anonymous questions via our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com. And just can kind of write whatever. We'll read emails. That's how it goes. So, we've got a couple things this weekend. Do you want to do the... Let's see. Okay. So, they're both fairly short. You want to start one out?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Hey, not folk. I just wanted to validate your guys' comments on social issues in episode 349 in regards to institutional oppression. I'm a social worker, and every point you covered fell along with nearly everything I learned on college work, learned in college. That was his typo, not me. In college working towards my degree. Every primary school needs to educate children on these issues. The first time I'd ever been seriously exposed to these issues was in my sophomore year in college. As white folk, the majority of society needs to be able to handle the fact that it was raised racist and patriarchal. All this shit could be solved with even a seven-letter word, empathy. Let's get our heads out of our butts and grow some capacity to try and step into some other shoes. Your friendly, non-child-taking social worker.
Yep. It's one of those things where, the concept of, quote, being woke and actually stepping back and being like, oh, I was being an asshole. Oh no, I need to try to be better. It's one of those things where it's like, you're going to have these issues and you're going to have to be aware of how you react and how you treat people because, it's one of those things that, as a white male, I'm viewed as the default in a lot of contexts. and I need to be aware of how other people are perceived and their issues, because everybody has a struggle, and I might think things are bad for me sometimes, but it's a lot worse for other folks, so I should try to be empathetic to their issues and speak up for people who are dealing with that kind of oppression bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's just realizing not everybody has it as good as you.
Oh, yeah. Whew. Like, the realization that's like, wow, I am super well off and don't have to worry about so many of the other issues that I see people doing, and I should recognize that fact and not be a dick. It's like being able to, like, ah, you know, this, well, earlier in the episode, I'm like, yeah, you know, we've spent all this money on a dog, but
it's you also had money to
I have the money to do it, and the money was, like, discretionary. Like, I could have purchased this consumer electronic that I've wanted, but instead I decided to get a dog. And I am incredibly fucking privileged that I had that much of money available as just discretionary funds. And I should recognize that fact and try to be mindful of, like, people who are struggling with, like, their bills and shit. Because, you know, that's important too, helping other people out. So, there's that little bit.
You pretty much covered it.
Okay. I just like, give Chief a chance to talk.
I couldn't think of anything to say that you hadn't already said, so.
Cool. Okay. And our other email is titled Questions. Hey, Notcast, just wanted to ask you, how do you recover from mental burnout? I heard it leads to depression and haven't shown any symptoms of depression, so what would you do?
It kind of depends on what you're mentally burnt out from. I mean, are you just going school, work, home, school, work, home? Are you going through just tons of social, of like coursework? What are you burnt out from? That's the kind of stuff. Usually you want to do something that will kind of try and relax, not think for a while. This could be anything from like warm bath. I love soaking in hot tubs. It's one of the things that I find really kind of sheds stress. Play a video game. Just kind of, what are you stressed about? And try and find an opposite. If you're feeling like your nerves are really rattled, try and find something quiet. Like, I don't know, find a quiet park, go for a drive. Try to find something that will help you find your zen so that you can kind of just brain dump for a while and do... Well, I'm repeating myself. Do the opposite of whatever it is that you've been doing.
Yeah, break your routine.
Yes.
So
routine breaking is big.
Like what she was said, if you're going school, work, home, like when you have a free moment, take that time and go see a movie, go take a walk, go to a park, go pet a dog. Do something that is not your constant routine so you can kind of kick yourself out of that rut for a little bit, and that'll probably make you feel better.
Go to a library, go to a bookstore.
Read a book.
Read a motherfucking book.
And not like, don't go reading like current events, politics bullshit. Read some fantasy and be like, well, they might be attacked by ice zombies from the north and have all this weird political bullshit, but at least it's not our current reality.
Mm-hmm.
Or go read like The Expanse, which is to say, go read the Culture series by Ian M. Banks and be like, man, I wish I could live in the culture. That'd be cool. It is really just a matter of having a break with what is causing you burnout for enough time to kind of make it seem less awful for the short term.
Yes.
Like, ultimately, burnout needs... You'll need to take a longer break from said thing, which, like, if it's work, if you're working full-time, you might want to look at maybe shifting jobs. Like, that's not, like, something done flippantly, but if it's, like, schoolwork, maybe take less credits next semester if you're too overworked or stuff like that. I mean, without some specifics, it's one of those things...
If you want to give us some specifics, we can try and find opposites and some way to kind of break out of the burnout.
I mean, even if it's dealing with, like, a fandom, then just take a break from the fandom and come back at it later. Mm-hmm. If it's burnout from a video game, unsub for a while, or, you know, quit playing it every day, and you might hate it less when you come back. because there's always catch-up mechanics.
Well,
like there's a lot of options, but it really it's specific to what your context is.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much that I can think of. At least not without being told more.
Yeah, it's a well, like a 2-paragraph email, which is fine, or maybe not even a paragraph.
It's like a couple sentences.
Yeah, it's 2 sentences. Not a paragraph. Anyways, that's it for the emails this week. I mean, feel free to contact, comment. So, blah, words, right?
Uh-huh.
Words are hard.
Uh-huh.
You can always contact us, notcast@foxeffers.com. You can write in about the shit we talked about this week, topics we've missed. Relationship advice is more our forte, but, you know, we talk about pretty much anything.
Interesting tidbits. We always welcome articles that will give us stuff to talk about.
Did you go to BLFC? Write in about BLFC. Like, I'll have an AconCon report for next weekend, at least my particular view of it. With a dog update, I'm sure. So if you went to BLFC, let us know. If you went to any other cons, because I know there's probably multiple events going on. Mm-hmm. If you go to AConn, let us know and tell us about, you know, I'm going to be behind a table for the vast chunk of it and see cosplayers walking by, but I don't get to actually attend.
I haven't gone in years. I really should.
Now that it's not in Fort Worth, it'll be a lot harder to do.
Yeah.
I'm putting the parking fees on the company card for that one. It's like, if I'm going to be doing this, I ain't paying out of pocket.
Yeah.
I don't know what the parking situation's going to be, but we'll find out.
Yep, so there's also, you can send us asks on Tumblr for if you want to do anon. You can find us on Patreon on Notcast, on Twitter at Notcast, on, you know, for Affinity is Notcast.
As a reminder, I had to regen the Telegram group invite, but that has been updated to a new journal on our For Affinity. Basically, anytime random people with Cyrillic names or very obviously Middle Eastern names start popping up, it's time to regen your code.
I haven't had that in any of my groups anytime recently.
Well, it was weird because this person with a very Middle Eastern name popped in right as Rahata was dropping a porn train. He popped immediately back out. I was like, oh, you sorry, dude.
You poor soul.
It's like, you pop into this chat that you might not know what it's about, but
you get a really fast education.
Deep porn train of dog gay kicks. Stuff. Like, I think it was Bunny Boys at the time. He was dropping like a 20 deep train, and that guy disappeared real quick. And I was like, well, time to regen. Like, one time we had a guy come in, and like, it was first name, and then like, ASCII gun and last name, and he was like, why are you posting pornography here? Because that's what this room's for. Could you not? It's illegal in my country. I don't think you belong here, dude. Anyways, so yeah, if you're interested in joining the Telegram group, you can go and go to our FA and look there. Beyond that, like, you can find me on Twitter at SirenDrake. I haven't streamed on Twitch and I haven't posted anything on YouTube for like a month. Like, I did some comic dub stuff, but then I just kind of stopped.
I'm boring. I've had too much real life stuff to do much.
Yeah, it's been all real life bullshit. And it's like, man, I do not feel like playing video games for nobody. once I find another game to really sink my fangs into, I'll, like, streaming exploration in Elite Dangerous is not exciting.
No.
It's like, I'm going planet to planet and going, oh.
Scan.
Oh, cool. I found the water world.
You'd have to do, like, banter and make it funny and entertaining it's outside
like,
of...
I'm going to this planet's... It's a planet exiling assholes to. It's a 0 degrees Kelvin.
Mm-mm.
No. This is a high-pressure ammonia world. Let's drop some motherfuckers there.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Anyways, that wraps it up for this week. And, yeah, our second segment's really short, but that's okay. This episode's probably going to be about an hour by the time everything's all
cleaned up
and whatnot. So we will see you guys next week.
For 353,
which I'm sure we'll think of some pithy title of by then.
And you're more than welcome to send us in suggestions for topics. That's always a good...
Yeah, when you've been going this long, it's like, what do you talk about? Eh.
Yeah, which is kind of what happened at the start of this, is like, do we want a topic? Yeah. So yeah, send us ideas for topics. That's the topics for next week.
Yep.
Help us find content, please. It's been 350 plus episodes. Help.
So on that note, good night.
And big balls.